Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.
You're very welcome along to the Friday Football Betting Show. We're going to be previewing the weekend's action. We're going to reflect on the Champions League and Europa League draws which have been made this morning. Some tasty ties to look forward to. And remember, if you are gambling, always gamble responsibly. Just a bit of fun. We're going to pick out a few bets that might catch the eye over the weekend. So to go through it all, I'm joined in studio by Off the Ball commentator Stephen Doyle and Cheltenham. We can go to Cheltenham. There's Leon Blanche, and he still has the shirt on his back, so it can't be that bad a week for you, Leon.
Not too bad, Phil. Look, we had a great start. Tuesday was definitely a bookmaker's bonanza. But to be fair, the last four favourites won on Wednesday. The first two favourites won on Thursday. And I think punters, probably if it was a football score, it'd be 2-1 to the punters going into day four.
Okay, well, let's just get straight into the Boyle Sports offers for this week. Manchester United away to Wolves in the FA Cup. It is, of course, FA Cup quarter-final weekend. There is Premier League action as well. And the offer, Manchester United to win, both teams to score, was 3-1. That has gone to 4-1 now. And Wolves have taken some big scalps this season, Leon, and they've beaten a few decent teams at Molineux. They turned Chelsea over there. They obviously turned Spurs over at Wembley. I know you were quite confident that Solskjaer and United could be a cup team, and that's the way it's proved so far.
Yeah, I just thought, Phil, when we were looking at the start of the FA Cup, as in the third round, when the big boys come into the competition, I thought Ole Gunnar would love to win a trophy in his kind of interim spell. We all know and feel he deserves the job full-time, which he will get next season, but he'd love to bring a trophy in his first charge. Or his first spell in charge, excuse me. It's a tricky game, however. Wolves will score. I think United will score. But I think the game could go either way. I'm really looking forward to actually watching it. I think it's going to be a very, very exciting game of football.
Yeah, and then the other offer is a Premier League fixture. We've got Everton against Chelsea. So the offer is Chelsea to win. Both teams to score was 3-1. Now 4-1. And Stephen, I know you've covered a few Chelsea games and Everton games. It's hard to know, really.
Yeah, it's a funny one. I suppose you would be kind of looking at Chelsea having been in Europa League action on the Thursday night. You have to travel all the way to Russia. It's never ideal when you're coming back then to the UK to play a Premier League fixture then a couple of days later. So they don't get much time to rest. I wouldn't be banking on Everton in any way whatsoever. In fact, I don't think I've stayed away from Everton matches all season because you just can't trust them.
Yeah.
So I do think both teams to score there is actually a good shout. And yeah, look, you'd have to fancy Chelsea, even though Everton, you know, are playing at home and Chelsea have had that travel. You know, he rotated the team last night as well, sorry. So he'll bring back a couple of the big players. And yeah, you'd probably, I think it's a good shout, that offer.
Yeah, Leon, and Eden Hazard, I suppose most importantly, was left on the bench for Chelsea last night. Giroud scored a hat-trick, and I think Stephen hit the nail on the head there. We just don't know what to expect with Everton. You know, they were quite good against Liverpool. They got a draw there. You know, they're 2-0 up against Newcastle last weekend and just capitulated in the second half. Strange kind of game, though, because there was a few controversial decisions which, you know, both teams could feel aggrieved by.
Yeah, look, I think with Everton, as both of you guys have just alluded to, they gave everything they could in the Merseyside derby to try and take something away from Liverpool. 2-0 up, obviously, against Newcastle, and to ship three goals in the manner in which they did it, I thought was pretty poor. And Chelsea, to be fair to them, against Wolves last week in the Premier League, they kept going, they kept at it, and they got their share of the spoils. And I think Chelsea will fancy this. This is a game Chelsea will be looking to win because they want to finish in the top four. And I definitely think there will be goals. I don't see probably either team keeping a clean sheet.
Okay. I know, Leon, you were talking about how the punters have had a good week in Cheltenham. Now, wasn't a great week for us last week, just looking at the bets. And we can start with Leon went for Crystal Palace and Leicester to win. That was 3-1. Leicester got the win. Crystal Palace didn't get the win. So there was no luck for you there, Leon.
They were very poor, Phil, against Brighton. Now, maybe we should be giving Brighton a bit of credit. Back-to-back wins for Chris Hughton's side has definitely, I feel, secured their Premier League status for another season. But Palace were dreadful. And maybe it's just the sign of the team that they are. One week they play exceptionally well, next week they underperform. So no luck for me.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at my one. I got carried away, Steve-O, with the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Ollie was at the wheel. I thought this is going to be 10 wins in a row for United. They'll probably concede a goal. So when Xhaka scores, I'm thinking, right, there's the Arsenal goal. Now where's the United comeback? Never happened.
Yeah, I was actually on duty at that game last week with Gary Breen, and it was funny because I hadn't been there since the Spurs game, the 4-2, back in December. And it was incredible how the similarities in both games, because Arsenal, they just pressed both sides, United and Spurs, on their own patch. They've been so good at home, Arsenal. Yeah. They're really, really good home record. And again, as you say, last night against Rennes. So I just thought it was a really impressive performance. United, they just got their tactics wrong, really. And I thought there was a couple of things. I thought Rashford probably had a bad game by his own high standards. I thought the United back four, especially the centre-half pairing, you know, they've been coasting a little bit. Lindelof has been pretty good most of the season, but he just doesn't have a solid partner there, whether it's Smalling or Jones. Yeah. It doesn't really matter. And, you know, again, Kolasinac showed he's really good in the attack on the left-hand side. So, yeah, just really impressed by Arsenal at home this season, and they deserved the win last week.
Yeah, Ronan was in studio last week. He went for Arsenal and United the draw, so that didn't come through either. And then that leaves us with Kevin Coban. He went for a draw, the Huddersfield and Bournemouth game. Maybe just emotion got the better of him there as a former Huddersfield player. And Newcastle to win, which, in fairness, he got that. He went against his former club, but I suppose he sees Everton enough to know that they probably are not a team that you can rely on. OK, Champions League draw. I know before the draw, Leon, Manchester City were the favourites. Looking at the draw now, just if anyone hasn't seen the draw, I'll just give it to you now. Ajax against Juventus, Liverpool against Porto, Spurs against Manchester City, and Manchester United against Barcelona. They also did the semi-final draw as well, which I'm sure affects the betting for the overall winner, Leon. But Spurs or City will play Ajax or Juventus, Barca or United will play Liverpool or Porto. Could you imagine a Liverpool and Man U Champions League semi-final? 2-0 all draws. It'd be awful.
I don't think it's gonna happen, Phil. I really expect Barcelona to see off United over two legs, in my own opinion. I think it's a very difficult draw for Manchester United. And the betting, City are still favourites at 12-5. Juve, who will face a tricky enough assignment against a very young athletic and a very free-flowing Ajax side. But their second favourites are 3-1 Juve. Barca 7-2. Liverpool have been the big movers. They're now into 4-1. You would expect them to see off Porto. United being pushed all the way out to 16-1. And Tottenham Hotspur, our colleague John Duggan was beside me a few moments ago. He didn't really want to stay and listen to this because he's dreading playing Man City in the two-legged quarter-final. But they've gone all the way out to 20-1. Ajax 33 and Porto at 80-1. But looking at the draw, you would probably say City over two legs should see off Spurs. Juve go through, Liverpool go through, and I feel Barcelona go through.
What do you think, Steve?
Can't argue with Leon there. I think the interesting tie is the Juve-Ajax one because, you know, Juventus, I was really impressed by their performance against Atletico Madrid.
They were on it from the first whistle, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. The only thing I was disappointed with, well, first of all, Atletico were missing Diego Costa. That really handicapped them from the start. Morata just doesn't have that ability to hold the ball up and keep the pressure on the opposing team. So I think Juventus got off a little bit lightly by the fact that Costa wasn't playing. So the interesting thing I think here is you've got this young, dynamic Ajax team who ran rings around Real Madrid, who similarly to Juventus have a pretty ageing backline. And that's the one thing I would be concerned about Juventus. But when you throw Ronaldo into the mix there, all bets are off, you know. And it's a hard one to call. Like Leon, I think he's spot on with his assessment of Barcelona and United. I think Barcelona have been, you know, as much as they can be in European football, waiting in the long grass. They've just come up there nice and quietly. There's bubbling away there all season. They've got a brilliant defence. They've got conceded the least goals in the Champions League, along with, I think it's Juventus as well, 6 goals conceded in the whole tournament. They've got the brilliant strike force of Suarez and Messi, and now Coutinho starting to come into form. He's getting goals for them. They pummeled Lyon by scoring 5 goals. So I think Barcelona should go through. City as well, I can't see them having any problems against Spurs. I think Liverpool basically drew the worst team left in the last eight. So, yeah, I think it's going to be Liverpool against Barcelona in the semi-final. And then take your picks between Ajax and Juventus against Man City.
I think the one that interests me is Spurs and City. I don't think Spurs will have any problem playing City. And they're also meeting in the Premier League as well at the Etihad. So I wonder how that's going to play into it as well. There was even the one thing I was looking out for, if we got a Manchester derby and if they had both progressed in the cup this weekend, there was the possibility of four Manchester derbies in the space of a few weeks, which, I like watching Manchester derbies, but I don't know if I was ready for four of them. So we've avoided that. But, you know, Spurs will be in the new stadium.
Yeah.
When the new White Hart Lane. And, you know, they have given City trouble before.
Yeah, and no, it's a fair point. Maybe I'm a bit too quick to write them off. I just think that, you know, Guardiola's under real pressure here to get City into the latter stages of this competition. I think he's rotated his squad really well throughout the season. He's got Sergio Aguero firing on all cylinders. Gabriel Jesus has been brilliant in the cup games then, the likes of the FA Cup and that. So he's got two really good strikers. I know De Bruyne has been ruled out through injury, but he didn't really contribute much this season anyway when he was playing. Well, you know, I say that in as much as compared to previous seasons. So he's got the likes of Bernardo Silva, David Silva, still a really good team there, City. And Spurs, they're just, I think they got a really good draw in Borussia Dortmund. Dortmund were rubbish and Spurs, you know, made them look rubbish. And yeah, I still would be leaning towards City there.
Yeah, you still say City are the favourites, Leon, and, you know, I suppose they'd be looking at that draw. This is as good a chance as they might get to win the Champions League, especially with talk of transfer bans looming, and even I can't really see it coming to expulsion from the Champions League in a few seasons. But this, it kind of seems like everything is lining up for Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, look, I think he'll be very happy with the draw. I know what you're saying about Spurs. Maybe on their day they can put it up to City. But I think from a Spurs perspective, they probably would have wanted anyone else bar one of the Premier League teams, because that win against Dortmund gave them a bit of confidence in terms of playing a European side. I think they would have loved to get even Ajax or even a Porto, or maybe even take a chance against a Juve. I just feel with getting City, I think City will have enough. And Guardiola, you're right, he is under pressure. I think he has to deliver a Champions League at Man City. He spent an awful lot of money, lads. And yes, they were exceptional last year, hitting that 100-point mark in the Premier League, but they were totally outclassed by Liverpool over the two legs in the Champions League. So I think Pep Guardiola, I know Man City would rather win the Champions League, and I know Liverpool would rather win the Premier League. Now, please God, it works out like that.
Yeah,
I don't think any Liverpool fan would mind that.
They
let them have the Champions League and we can take the Premier League. But look, four good ties, but I would be surprised if there was an upset. The four teams who I've nominated to go through, they are all favourites to qualify. And I think four favourites will get through to the semi-finals.
OK, let's turn our attention to the Europa League. That draw has been made in the last few minutes. Great comeback from Arsenal last night against Rennes. You know, 3-1 down, come back, they win 3-0. I was very surprised actually with Rennes' tactics. But Arsenal's reward for that, Napoli. And Chelsea, I think someone's looking down on them. They've got Dinamo Kiev, they obviously took care of over the two legs, but they've got Slavia Prague, Stephen. And, you know, a tough draw for Arsenal. Chelsea would be delighted with that.
Yeah, and I'm really disappointed because looking at the two draws, you know, all of the big leagues represented: Italy, Spain, England, Portugal, Germany. And I was delighted to see Slavia Prague knocking Sevilla out last night. We've got, you know, a club from one of the lesser nations in the Czech Republic. And I was just hoping Slavia Prague would get a favourable draw, you know, maybe like Valencia or Villarreal. I would have fancied them against one of those teams. So it's just disappointing they got Chelsea. I think it makes Chelsea now really strong favourites. Yeah. Napoli showed last night they can be got at. In their game against Salzburg, they look a little bit brittle at the back. Arsenal, as we know, they're not exactly 100% solid. You look at the other ties, Villarreal, Valencia, you take your pick there. I did a commentary game last night, Valencia against Krasnodar. Valencia were very lucky to go through. They conceded in the 85th minute. They were going to crash out in away goals, but then somehow rescued a 1-1 draw in Russia in the last minute of added time. So both themselves and Villarreal, a little bit flaky. I've always had a fancy for Eintracht Frankfurt with the Three Musketeers up front for them. They grounded a brilliant 1-0 win away to Inter last night to put themselves through. But again, they've got a really tough tie in Benfica, who are very strong defensively. So I just think looking at the four draws there, I think Chelsea are looking like strong favourites now to win that competition.
Yeah, and just looking at the semi-final draw as well, Napoli or Arsenal will play the winners of the All-Spanish quarter-final, Villarreal and Valencia, which means then the winners of Benfica and Eintracht Frankfurt would play Slavia Prague or Chelsea. So Leon, I would imagine Chelsea must be fairly high up in the betting stakes now for overall winners of the Europa League.
Yeah, they certainly are, Phil. Steve-O was spot on. I think once they got Slavia Prague, they were going to always be favourites. They're now 7-4 clear favourites. Napoli second favourites and Arsenal third favourites. Napoli 7-2 and Arsenal 9-2. I honestly feel whoever comes out of that quarter final, they'll get through to the final. I think Napoli or Arsenal are good enough to see off Villarreal or Valencia. Mm. And Chelsea will probably play Benfica in the semi final. That won't be easy. As Steve-O said, Benfica are quite good. They're well organised. They can score goals. They don't give away too many either. But Chelsea at the minute, you look at Sarri, and I think there's no doubt he is really, really trying to win his first trophy as a manager. And I think this would really go a long way to appeasing the Chelsea fans. Of course, it does offer the extra carrot of qualification for the Champions League.
Yeah, actually, what's very interesting about this now, the way things are working out, if we get a Premier League club winning the Champions League and a Premier League club winning the Europa League, then whoever finishes fourth is going to miss out.
Yeah.
You can only have five teams from one country in the Champions League. Obviously, the winner of the Europa League goes into the Champions League. So we saw it before when Chelsea won the Champions League under Di Matteo. Spurs finished fourth under Harry Redknapp, but they were put into the Europa League. They didn't get Champions
but
League.
But if it is Chelsea, say, to win the Europa League and they come in the top four, that would mean then you've still got... That's... They're okay then, aren't they?
Yeah, well, you'd still, I mean, you'd have four going
in.
Where it gets interesting would be if, say, Arsenal or Chelsea were to win the Europa League
and don't come in the top
four. Say, for example, United or Spurs finish fourth, then one of them is going to get booted out. So that's something else to...
Yeah, absolutely.
It's definitely
an interesting little sidebar.
Adds a little bit of pressure to the whole race for the top four. And we will look at that in just a moment. But Leon, it is FA Cup quarterfinal weekend as well. And three of the quarterfinals on tomorrow. Let's start with Wolves and Manchester United. We talked about that briefly at the start of the show. You know, we know the way Wolves are going to play. Manchester United, you know, they have won the cup recently. Solskjaer would love a bit of silverware. Maybe last week was a little bit of a reality check that they haven't. I think we were all talking about them pretty much. We were all fairly confident they were going to finish top four, maybe not so confident after the result with Arsenal, but they can focus on the cup now. But this is not an easy game.
No, it's certainly not an easy game. Look, this is the tide around, without a shadow of a doubt. I know we've got another all-Premier League tie in Watford against Crystal Palace. But I think Wolves against United, Wolves are 9-4. I think it's a big enough price, Phil, at home. I mean, as you said at the top of the show, look at their record against some of the big teams at home. They are not afraid of anybody. There will be a cracking atmosphere. It's a 5-8 kickoff tonight. The place will be absolutely buzzing. And it's great that the FA Cup has done this for a club like Wolves. This is what the FA Cup is all about. Their supporters will be praying that they can get through to get a trip to Wembley in the semi-final. And this is what you want to see a lot of these clubs. Focus in on the FA Cup. Try and win a trophy instead of just settling for kind of middle-of-the-road table. I know they're safe in the Premier League. They might even finish seventh. They've had a tremendous season. And I think this is going to be tricky for United. United are 13-10. They have drifted out a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it was a score draw. I just think this is a very, very hard fixture to call.
Yeah, and Wolves have kind of changed things up a little bit in the second half of the season, and certainly with, obviously, Jimenez is bang in form, but Otto as well, Jota up beside him, has kind of just, you know, he was out injured, he's back, and that seems to have just added a bit more of a spark for Wolves because... You know, he pretty much picked the same 11. We knew how they were going to play. It was effective. it obviously seems to be more effective against the bigger clubs because they're set up perfectly to play counter-attack football. They've really struggled against the so-called minnows.
Well, it's interesting because Manchester United, we know when they go away from home, they like to play on the counter-attack. They like to draw teams out. Wolves like to do the same thing to the big clubs. So it's going to be, you know, it's nearly a game of chicken, isn't it, between the two sides. Who's going to give in first? And yeah, like I would agree with Leon there. I think there's definitely a possibility of a score draw here, and maybe seeing this game going into extra time and possibly penalties, because it is really hard to separate them. I think Wolves will have seen what Arsenal did last week, and they will take some. You know, what the thing about Wolves is they can make me leave the three lads, the centre backs, you know, maybe hanging back, and yet use the wing backs and their central midfielders to kind of push up and put a bit of pressure on Manchester United. I've really thought about this game hard and long, but I just can't separate them. I really can't. And you wouldn't be surprised at all to see Wolves get a win, would you?
Yeah, there seems to be a bit of a feeling, though, Leon, just the way things have gone for Solskjaer, that you just wouldn't be surprised if they won a cup. Now, silverware is all good and well, but you know, we have this debate so much about would you rather finish top four, get into the Champions League, or win a trophy? But surely, if Solskjaer, which we expect him to be there next season, he wants to be playing Champions League football, and if he can win a cup, it's a bonus.
Yeah, look, it is a bonus, Phil. I think with the Champions League draw being the way it is now, the people at Old Trafford, look, they got through against PSG. That was a remarkable comeback. They'll be looking at this now. They're massive underdogs to qualify to the semi-finals. And I don't think many people will expect them to get past Barcelona. So then you've got a race to finish in the top four in the league, and you've still got the FA Cup. To be fair, if you're at Manchester United, and even though you're not the permanent manager right now, you'll be expected to win the FA Cup and to finish in the top four. So I don't, you know, there is pressure there. He's had a tremendous start to his Manchester United career. There's no doubt about that. But I think he will really want to win something. And as you rightly said, but Champions League football, for the type of player Man United can attract next season, it's imperative that your club is playing in the biggest competition in club football.
And the other thing as well is, you know, obviously that long injury list has been well documented, but the players are now starting to come back for United. Anthony Martial was back last week. Matic was back. There's talk, I think Jesse Lingard was in training this week. Herrera was in training this week. So slowly but surely he's getting players back, and just at the right time as well. So, but it's just that it's just that Achilles heel of United's defence, you know, the centre halves. I would be concerned about them, especially against a team like Wolves. Matic, you know, it is great having him back as well, but he's a bit slow in the middle as well, and you wonder about him against the Wolves midfielders.
I find Matic a very strange player. Mm. I've watched him, he's played against Ireland before, and he's like a really tidy footballer.
Yeah.
But when he has an off day, he looks like a bus turning like a sharp corner. He just can't do it. Like,
yeah.
But.
Yeah.
When he's good, he's good. But when he's bad, he is absolutely woeful. And he's sometimes lucky to stay on the pitch because he's got a habit of picking up yellow cards as well.
I think Martial has to start, though, this weekend, doesn't he? He's definitely going to be a big player for them, I think, in a game like this.
Yeah, well, let's look at the other one, Leon. Swansea, Manchester City, that's also tomorrow. It's hard, the City are going to coast this, you'd imagine.
I don't think we need to spend too much time talking about Swansea v Man City, Phil. I think it's going to be a walk in the park for the citizens. The reserve City team will play. He'll give a lot of the first team players a bit of a rest. And as we both know, all of us, City's substitute bench would make it into any first 11 in the Premier League. So they're 1-8 to beat Swansea. So it goes to show you, this will be a walk in the park. 3 or 4-0, quite easy.
Yeah, they could put out the senior citizens for this one, really, couldn't they?
Of course, yeah.
It's like I'm just looking at Swansea's last couple of games. 3-0, they lost away to West Brom. 1-0 away to Norwich, is a decent enough result. But, like, you know, City are just demolishing teams like Schalke, Burton Albion, we saw in the League Cup. Their last meetings in the Premier League last season, 5-0 win at the Etihad and a 4-0 win down in Swansea.
Yeah.
And there's just, as much as you look at that Swansea team, you just can't see them putting up any resistance as well. It's a lovely pitch down there, which will suit City. So, yeah, like Leon, I can expect a big win here, 4-0, 5-0, maybe even more, you wouldn't know.
Yeah. Graham Potter in charge of Swansea now. They probably need Harry Potter to pull this one out of the bag. Right, Watford Crystal Palace is the first game of the weekend. This is a tough one to call because You know, Watford have been so impressive. They obviously changed things against Manchester City. Crystal Palace, referenced it early on, they were pretty poor against Brighton. But, you know, they got to the cup final 3 years ago. They were very unlucky. You know, they took the lead in the final against United. We can never forget Alan Pardew dancing on the sideline. But this is, both these clubs are thinking, right, you know, great chance to get to a semi-final. The draw might pit the two Manchester clubs against each other. This is a chance to get into a cup final. So, you know, they're going to be, I find this a really hard one to pick.
Yeah, look, it's a very, very tricky game. I think when you look at it, Watford at home, 13-10, that's why they're favourites. But we all know how Watford play, lads. They play a very expansive attacking style of football. And I actually feel this will suit Crystal Palace, who can be deadly on the counter-attack. They've got a lot of power. They've got a lot of pace with Zaha, with Batshuayi, with Andros Townsend. So they do have players who, on their day, can be match winners. And I actually like the look of Palace here away from home, even though they were dreadful last week at home against Brighton. I just think at 21-10, just because of what I've said about Watford, who will come and attack Palace, I think that might just play into Palace's hands. But it is a tricky one to call. But just on the betting and the value, I'd rather be with Palace at 21-10 than trying to back Watford at home at 13-10.
Yeah, and then the last of the FA Cup quarterfinals is on Sunday. Millwall against Brighton. We've seen Millwall upset Everton. Do you think, Steve, actually, the way Millwall play, they'll go direct, that might actually suit Brighton. You've got Duncan Duffy there.
And they relied on set pieces against Everton, didn't they? I actually backed Millwall in that game against Everton. I just really fancy them at home. I think it's a short trip for Brighton. They, as you said, like Duncan Duffy there, those two lads at the back should be able to handle what Millwall throw at them. And as well, I just think, looking back to the third and fourth rounds of the competition, I just felt there was two clubs in particular I thought were really going to go for the FA Cup this season. And Watford and Brighton were those two sides I looked at and felt, you know, Chris Hughton really likes the FA Cup. He's got a great history as a player there himself. And Brighton have been decent on the road. They got a good 2-1 win last week against Crystal Palace, which I didn't fancy at all.
The pressure's been taken off them with two wins in a row in the league. They were getting sucked in. So now they can actually relax and enjoy this
exactly.
quarterfinal.
Yeah, go out and enjoy themselves. Glenn Murray's in form. Yeah. And Donny, you know, he could definitely prove a thorn in the side of Millwall. And I just think Brighton, everything is going for them heading into this game. And I really would fancy them.
Is there any point in back in Millwall? In this one, Leon?
Look, I suppose, Phil, they're at home. I think there'll be pretty much a full house, but I'd agree with what Steve-O was saying there. I think Brighton now, I think they see an opportunity here to get to an FA Cup semi-final, and those last two wins will definitely have eased the pressure on Chris Hughton, will have eased the pressure on the players. I think they're safe in the Premier League now. And what a great opportunity to get to an FA Cup semi-final against a lower league opposition. Even if you are away from home, you'd still fancy Brighton. But Brighton don't score bundles of goals. This could be a long watch if you fancy watching that on St. Paddy's Day. I certainly won't be watching it. But I think Brighton might just be able to nick past Millwall.
OK, obviously FA Cup quarter-final. There's a few Premier League games. I suppose the one that we'll probably all be looking at, Stephen, I know you're going to be at it, Fulham and Liverpool. Mm. And with City in cup action, Liverpool a chance to go back to the top of the league. We've heard the whole narrative, would they be better out of the Champions League? They win 3-1 in Munich. Now they're going to be buzzing, going to Craven Cottage. And you'd expect that they could put a lot of goals past Fulham.
Yeah, look, what a load of nonsense this, you know, going for one competition or, you know, concentrating on one trophy. Absolute rubbish. The best managers, the best teams, the champions, they go for all competitions. They want to win everything. And that line was spun by Gary Neville near the start of the season. And he was just trying to get under the skin of everybody at Liverpool. It hasn't worked. You know, they're still in great form heading into the final stages of the season. You know, I was at the Fulham-Chelsea game there a couple of weeks back, did it with Kenny Cunningham. And the one thing I did notice was that Fulham, they, you know, up till that point, before Ranieri got sacked, they forgot what made them a good team. And that was just all-out attacking. You know, they conceded goals, but they beat teams by just going for it. And as the season went on, and as they got into more and more relegation trouble, they lost confidence in themselves as an attacking team. And they just began to play more and more within themselves. Ranieri, as I said so many times on different off-the-ball shows, that he was the wrong manager for them to pick. Scott Parker then comes in, And he was the instrumental. I remember reading the programme notes, Tom Craney, the skipper, mentioned that he was instrumental as a player in getting Fulham out of the relegation in the Championship. Now, they're not going to get out of it in the Premier League, but I think he's just said to the players, go out there, enjoy yourselves. Look, we might be going down, but let's go down fighting. And I think they are going to come out and have a go at Liverpool, but they haven't got the quality. I think there's a good chance they might score. But I think Liverpool, I'd expect Klopp to make a couple of changes. Maybe Origi might start. I think he might rest Mane, you know, who's been in brilliant form, but he needs to keep his best striker fit for the bigger games that are coming soon. And I can see maybe a couple other players.
Yeah,
I
think Lallana
would probably come in and start.
Henderson's out anyway, we know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd see Liverpool winning, but, you know, maybe like a 2-1, 3-1, something like that.
Yeah, Leon, just it's hard to look past a Liverpool win. And then the other game in the Premier League on Sunday, Everton and Chelsea. We talked about it there briefly. Great chance for Chelsea to kind of get back in, take advantage of their top four rivals not in action this weekend in the Premier League.
Yeah, look, I fancy Chelsea away against Everton. I think they're quite capable. Hazard has had a rest. And I feel that they're going to be good enough to actually see off Everton. I just think Everton have been very, very poor all season. They gave a great effort against Liverpool, but I think Chelsea will see this as a serious opportunity to get a much-needed 3 points in their, obviously, quest for top four. And I'd fancy Chelsea, and I agree with Steve-O, I think Liverpool...
Yeah, OK, we just have a bit of an issue with the line there. But what we're going to do now is we're going to look into this week's bets. We're going to start with my one, Steve, and I'm going all out in the FA Cup. And I'm going for away day glory. Every away team to win. So Crystal Palace to win at Watford, City to win at Swansea, United to win at Wolves, and Brighton to win at Millwall. It's a bit of a Hail Mary, but they say, you know, home advantage can count. But I'm kind of thinking...
You're a cup man, Phil. You love the cup. The magic of the cup.
Magic of the cup. I'm just getting...
You'll be hoping for some magic anyway with that.
Yeah.
Look, I actually don't think it's too bad a bet. It's going... One of those particular selections is going against mine. So I'm hoping it's not a successful one for you, Phil. But yeah, look, you wouldn't write it off. Absolutely not.
Okay, let's look at your bet here, Stephen. We'll get it up on screen now. And the one that you're talking about is... Watford. You've gone for Watford and you've gone for both teams to score on over 2.5 goals in the Burnley and Leicester Premier League game, which is at 3 o'clock tomorrow. So you fancy Watford to beat Palace. That's
yeah. Look, just quickly, I'll say Watford. Look, they rested six players in that defeat to Man City. Even at that, they still managed to get a goal away from home. Last four matches, De Lufeo and Deeney both in tremendous form. De Lufeo, 4 goals and an assist. Deeney's got 3 goals and 2 assists. The last three meetings of these sides, Watford have 1-2. Drawn one. Palace, granted their last 5 matches, they've had 3 wins away from home, but Watford, they've only played 3 home games this year, 10 of those away from home. But at home, they've beaten Leicester, they've beaten Everton and drawn with Burnley. I think they're in really good form. So I just think everything's pointing at a Watford win here, and the fact that they rested so many players last week. And then, regards to the other game, Leicester, both teams to score. I just think Leicester, they've beaten Man City 2-1 on Stephen's Day. Since then, and including that game, they've had 13 matches and just 1 clean sheet. You know, they've played Harry Maguire and Johnny Evans mostly as a centre-half pairing. Rodgers threw Wes Morgan into the mix there. I really hope he does that again on Saturday.
That was because the Watford game,
definitely concede.
Quick enough after that.
Wes Morgan
was better on the bench.
And then as well, look, Burnley, their 12 games in 2019, they've only had 2 clean sheets. So yeah, it's pointing that both teams will score. And look, that particular bet, both teams are scoring over 2.5, would have paid off in the last 5 of 7 Burnley games and the last 8 of 10 last 10 Leicester games. So I just think, yeah, put those both in the double. I think it's just over 4.5 to 1, is it, in the double? So
yeah, okay. Yeah. And then Leon Blanche, we've got Leon back. We've got the line back up and running there. Leon, your bet then, you've gone for West Ham, Liverpool and Leicester. West Ham are taking on Huddersfield, Liverpool away to Fulham and Leicester away to Burnley. That's coming in at 15-4, Leon.
Yeah, just under 4-1, Phil. I really fancy West Ham at home. Obviously, to Huddersfield, they've been very good at home. West Ham, Liverpool should see off Fulham quite easily. And then in my last leg of the treble, I just think Burnley at the moment, they seem to be playing with so little confidence. They got a good start against Liverpool, and in the past, Burnley would have been able to frustrate Liverpool, but they were carved open quite easily. And I just think, again, they're at home, similar to the point I made about Palace travelling to Watford, hitting them on the counter-attack. I think this could be set up perfectly for Leicester to hit Burnley on the counter-attack, because the onus is on Burnley to try and get a home win. They are in a relegation dogfight. Mm. This is going to go right to the end of the Premier League. So for me, I think Brendan Rodgers and Leicester will be able to register back-to-back victories.
Okay, and we look at Kevin Coban's bet as well. He's gone for a cup team as well. He's gone Manchester City, Manchester United and Watford all to win. That is 5-1. So he's siding with you, Steve-O, going for Watford to beat Palace. That's coming in at 5-1. Before we go, Leon, GAA action this weekend. You know, we're getting towards the end of the Allianz Football League. Mayo against Kerry. That's always one that Mayo fans will look forward to, having Kerry. You know, obviously Kerry have had such a good league campaign, including a win over the Dubs. Mayo started off so well, but then their visit to Croke Park kind of, you know, was a bit of a reality check for them. It hasn't really worked out since.
No, they have been really, really poor, Phil, to be fair. And you struggle to see where Mayo are going to be able to get the type of level needed to try and make a big run in this year's football championship. For me, I've been very, very impressed with Kerry, I have to say. They're a young team with a new manager, and they seem to be playing with no fear, but they've also added a bit of strength to how they defend. And I think that could be crucial in the championship. I fancy Kerry here quite easily to see off Mayo. And then, of course, it would set up, should Dublin see off Tyrone tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, it will set up a Kerry-Dublin final. And that's what everybody wants, really, in the league final.
That's what the GAA wants anyway, Leon.
It certainly is, Steve-O. There'll be a few quid going into the coffers on that final.
Yeah, like Dublin had a slow start, but obviously, you know, they've come back. They've got a few weeks of training under the belt. They obviously kind of, once they beat Mayo, it kick-started everything. And you'd imagine they'll beat Tyrone, Leon, and we'll get our Kerry and Dublin final.
Yeah, I think they will, Phil. I mean, the Dubs are 1-5, Tyrone are 9-2. I don't see any reason why Tyrone, I mean, they were totally outclassed in the All-Ireland final in September. Everybody was saying it was going to be tricky, it was going to be this, and the Dubs just pretty much brushed them aside. So for me, it's two home wins, Kerry and Dublin, to beat Mayo and Tyrone respectively, and set up a decent league final, which could be the exact same come September, when the drive for five will be on. And by God, would Kerry love nothing more than stopping Dublin, create history and getting five in a row.
Leon, what are you talking about? Croke Park is known. That's a neutral ground. Don't be feeding them.
Look, at the end of the day, Steve-O, the GAA love the Dubs playing at home. They bring Leon, in the fan. They bring in the money.
Before we let you go, it is Gold Cup Day at Cheltenham. Have you any tips for us?
Yeah, look, there's two horses I like today, Phil. I like a horse called Darren Ross running in the Albert Bartlett for a small enough yard in Philip Dempsey. His son, Luke Dempsey, will be on board. This horse has won its last two runs. I think the three-mile trip will definitely suit. He's really, really tough, and the bit of rain that fell today should definitely suit him. He's a big enough price at around about 11 or 12 to 1. And then in the Gold Cup, I'm sticking with Presenting Percy. I know his preparation hasn't been great. He's only had the one hurdle run, which he won quite impressively. He hasn't been over fences this year. But I just think he's been to Cheltenham two times before. He's won both. And now he's stepping up into the Gold Cup. And I think I just love the horse, lads. He just seems to do everything within his ease. So for me, Presenting Percy, hopefully, because he'll be getting my few English pound notes, hopefully he'll win the Gold Cup.
Yeah, and you'll bring back home a few euros after you exchange it. Leon Blanche from Boyle Sports, pleasure as always. We'll chat to you next week. International football next week. Stephen, thanks for joining us in studio. And remember, folks, if you are gambling this weekend, always gamble responsibly. And it is just a bit of fun. And never bet more than you can afford. Until next week, take care.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.